What artist can I count on to get me through the hard times now that the system took Meek Mill away from us?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_B-Ball. We're here to recap the three games from Monday, preview a full 10-game Tuesday. So,
let's get to it.
All right, we're not mucking around. We're getting straight into the action today, and we're going to start with the monstrous line of the night. Yes, Jimmy Johnson, James Johnson of the Miami Heat is the monstrous line of the night. I've had many people ask me, Josh, what's the name of the Jimmy Johnson song? The name of the song is Jimmy Johnson, and it is by Lagwagon. So go check out Lagwagon and buy their stuff. They're really, really good. And many of you won't appreciate that style of music, and it won't be your thing, but that's fine. But Jimmy Johnson by Lagwagon is the name of that song. So go check them out. But let's get back to Jim himself here. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 triples, 3 steals, 1 block, 7 of 15 from the field, 4 of 4 from the line. This is a Jim Johnson special from last season. He is amazingly the 16th ranked player over the last week, averaging 16.5 points, 2 triples, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.7 steals, and a block, shooting 53 from the field and 100% from the line. He's actually the 67th ranked player over the course of the season in under 29 minutes. He's been fantastic. He's putting up similar numbers to what we saw him do last year. In fact, he's a little bit more efficient from the field and from the line also, and doing it without shooting a huge three-point percentage, only 31% from three when he was at 34% last season. So he does have room to improve that three-point shooting as well. He's killing it at the moment. I thought, you know, maybe the return of Justice Winslow, the acquisition of Kelly Olynyk might impact what Johnson can do, but he's just doing exactly what he did last year, even better perhaps in some areas, and just looks really, really good. So clearly he's a must-own player. We're all well aware of that, and he's owned in all leagues, and he was a guy that I did tend to avoid myself this year in drafts. I felt he was going a little bit early, but turns out that I missed out because he's putting up fantastic numbers at the moment. Good old Jim Johnson. The waiver wire line of the night, it goes to Marco Bellinelli of the Atlanta Hawks. Bellinelli had been struggling in a big way before this game, but he had 19 points, which included 2 triples. Didn't have a rebound, which is not easy to do. 3 assists, 3 steals, 6 of 10 from the field, and a perfect 5 of 5 from the line. He had gone missing in the two previous games and gone scoreless in under 20 minutes. I thought, okay, they're going to go with more Isaiah Taylor. They're going to go with more Malcolm Delaney in one of those games. They're going to run more Lukey Babbitt. But no, Bellinelli was back in this one. Yes, his value was helped by the fact that he was 5 of 5 from the line and the fact that he got 3 steals. But it was good to see those minutes back. He was a must-own player to start this season. He's still the 86th ranked player over the course of the year. But to me, he is more of a streamer when you need those threes. He can be a little bit streaky with what he does. He's not providing much in those rebounds or assist numbers. Defensive stuff's not really happening. Efficiency is not a huge part of his game either. So he's not a must-own 12-team league guy. He's more of a 14-teamer, maybe more of a 16-teamer than a 10 or a 12. But it was good to see him. If you did happen to hold on after that little rough patch, you got rewarded here. I actually dropped him before this game in one of my leagues, so I obviously missed out on that. But I was happy to do that. I think the decision to do that was well-founded after really three or four real turds in a row from Marco Bellinelli. But he bounced back in this one with a pretty strong performance. The young gun of the night, pretty used to saying this one because Jason Tatum was fantastic. 21-8 for Tatum, 3 triples, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 7 of 13 from the field, and a perfect 4 of 4 from the line. He is the 35th ranked player this season. That is bananas. He is almost a lock for the top 100 this season. Yes, Marcus Morris coming back might eat into his production, but if Brad Stevens is smart, and I know that he is, he won't allow that to happen. There are a couple of things that are definitely going to come down from Tatum, though. He is shooting 50% from the field, and he is shooting 53% from three. That second number in particular, there's no way that sticks. He will not continue to shoot 53% from three. He has got an extraordinary true shooting of 64% as a rookie. That is almost unheard of on 9 field goal attempts per game. He's getting to the line 4 times per game. You know, 0.9 blocks, 0.7 threes, but his real value is coming from those percentages, his scoring, and his ability to grab rebounds at a high rate. He's definitely the Celtic, the young Celtic that you want over Jaylen Brown. I don't think there should be really any debate over that, but yeah, he's putting up really, really good numbers, and he's going to get plenty of these young guns of the night to move forward. He's, yeah, look, he's doing much more than anyone could have anticipated, and the Celtics, they look really, really bloody good, and it's, I didn't think we'd expect them to look as good as they did given the injury to Gordon Hayward, but they look fantastic. Best record in the NBA at the moment, really, really crushing it after that early setback with those two early losses. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. No, he's not hot. Hassan Whiteside, 3 points, 6 rebounds, 1 block, a putrid 1 of 9 from the field, and 1 of 2 from the free throw line. This is always the risk when your centers either they go up against the Pelicans and Boogie Cousins, or they go up against the Warriors, and he got significantly Warriors'd in this game. He's been putting up fine numbers, averaging 15 and 12 and a half with 1.2 steals and blocks, and hitting 80% of his free throws. Just chalk this one up to the Warriors, just really wrecking guys, which is what they do. Look back one game, and he had 21 and 17 with 3 steals and 2 blocks against the Clippers. This is an anomalous game from Hassan. I wouldn't be overly concerned. This just happens to centers against the Warriors. They just play limited minutes. He got benched down the stretch. They went with Bam Adebayo, and it's just what goes on. So I wouldn't be too concerned and thinking, oh, they're going to bench him as they move forward. He was getting killed early. He was really, really poor, and, you know, Spoelstra made the change, and that's not an uncommon thing to happen in these matchups when you do take on the Golden State Warriors. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to go through the three games from Monday in more detail, and then later on we'll be previewing the 10 games for Tuesday from a DFS point of view. Let's actually get stuck into that right now and have a look at those games. Those three games that we did have on Monday. The first one was the Boston Celtics getting the victory over the Hawks. It was a tight one. The Hawks did lead late into the fourth quarter, but the Celtics came through in no small part due to Kyrie Irving, who had 35, 3, and 7. He was 64% from the field, which is crazy. He hit 4 triples, no defensive numbers, but prior to this game, he was leading the NBA in steals, which is a phenomenal thing that you probably would not have anticipated from Kyrie. Al Horford almost with the triple-double as well, 15, 10, and 9. And Horford this season is averaging 9.2 rebounds per game after being a guy that averaged 6.8 last season. The Celtics are one of the best rebounding teams in the league, and mainly because Horford has increased his output so, so much. We thought, oh shit, they're not going to be able to rebound anything this year. Yeah, Baines might be able to help that, but Horford has really picked up on that end, and he has been a fantastic early pick. Marcus Smart hit some shots, but we don't care about that in general. Four boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, just getting it done in those other areas. While Jaylen Brown, 11 and 4, picked up some early fouls. Amazingly, Jaylen Brown is the 177th ranked player, or he was when I checked it about 3 hours ago, 177th ranked player in the NBA. People traded him for Bradley Beal. That is bananas to me. Now, I've said this many times, Brown looks much better than I anticipated, but his game is not overly fantasy friendly. And we're seeing that now. You could say that Jaylen Brown's been really good for the Celtics, and that's true. But for fantasy, he hasn't been that good. He's scoring okay. Tatum is the guy that I would prefer easily in a fantasy league over Jaylen Brown. Not even close at all. Brown's still doing his thing and scoring some points. He's inconsistent. The percentages hurt. He just doesn't do enough in enough categories to be a real consistent fantasy threat. And we're seeing that play out at the moment. Aaron Baines started with Marcus Morris out. 2 and 3 for Baines. He's not much there. Well, Daniel Tice played his 14 minutes, and they'll likely evaporate in the next game. But Semi Ojeleye, he looks awesome as well. And I am every single day thinking that Brad Stevens is potentially the best coach in the NBA. Yeah, Greg Popovich is there clearly, but he can make anybody seem good. And maybe, you know, I'm a little bit harsh on Marcus Morris. I don't like Marcus Morris. I don't think he's a good bloke. I don't think he's a good player. And we've seen how bad he was in Detroit. But we've also seen players go from Boston to other teams and look significantly worse. Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, who's looked all right, but he hasn't looked as good as what he did playing in Boston. And then players coming to Boston and Stevens being able to work their magic on them, like Jay Crowder, for example. So maybe he could make Morris into a fantasy-relevant player. I'm not really feeling that, so I don't think that 10s or 12s need to really pay too much attention to Morris, but it is food for thought when looking at his value as we move forward. On the Hawks. Ah, yes. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. This is the hope that I had for him early in the preseason. I didn't expect him to play 36 minutes a night, which he did here, but he had 19 and 12, a career high. He added two blocks. He was a perfect 2 of 2 from the line. He hit a three. He was 57% from the field, and this is the sort of value he can return. He's around the top 100 so far this season, despite being a little bit disappointing. His upside isn't significant because he's not going to play 36 a night, but he, in a 14-team league, he's a clear must-own. He's owned in like 31% of leagues. In a 12-team league, I think he does have value. If you're looking for rebounds and some blocks with some good percentages, it is hard to go past a guy like The Undertaker to really solidify those numbers. Now, he got extra playing time because Mike Muscala was out, Ersan Ilyasova was out, and the Baptist John Collins had 5 fouls in his 16 minutes, so Dedman had to play extra. He'd just as likely go back to 24 or 23 minutes in the next one when Collins plays his 20 and Muscala is back and Ersan's back and all that sort of stuff. But it is showing what he can do if he is given that ability to play those minutes. He looked really strong here. Dennis Schröder continues to be really good for this team, 23-2-6. While the Hawks debuted some weird-ish lineups with Malcolm Delaney playing alongside Schröder and Malcolm Delaney playing alongside Isaiah Taylor. In fact, both Delaney and Taylor played over 20 minutes. Delaney had 13 and 4 with 2 steals. I'm not really buying that. While Taylor had 4, 2 and 4. Both of those guys are deeper league guys. And I'd probably prefer Taylor. But it was interesting to see those lineups. That meant that Kent Bazemore and Taurean Prince both had their minutes limited. 5, 8 and 3 for Bazemore. While Prince was a pretty poor 7-2-4 in his 28 minutes, that will likely change in the next one. While Lukey Babbitt had 9-5 in 25 minutes, but he could find himself completely out of the rotation when both Ersan and Muscala return in the next game. The next game we take a look at is the Brooklyn Nets and the Phoenix Suns. There was no Trevor Booker, there was no Jared Allen, and then Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had a right hip contusion that forced him out of the second half of this game. So the big man stocks were pretty depleted for Brooklyn. In the second half, Jumpin' Joe Harris started, and he looked all right. 18 points with 3 triples, a steal, and a block. It's clear that Kenny Atkinson really does like Jumpin' Joe. He's ahead of Shawnee Kilpatrick, the sexy boy. And if Rondae has to miss, and the Nets are playing again on Tuesday, then I would imagine that Harris is going to start, and he's an interesting points and threes streamer who can be surprising in the defensive numbers. Not really a 12-team must-own, but he's only 1% a league. So you're in 20-teamers, you're in 18-teamers. Go and have a look at Jumpin' Joe and see what he can give you. D'Angelo Russell, really good in this one. 23-6-8, 2 steals and a block. A weirdly horrendous night from the free throw line as he went 7 of 12 there, but 62% from the field. It felt like he couldn't miss in that final quarter. The Nets did make a change to their starting lineup. The blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, started while Caris LeVert moved to the bench. Crabb had 15 and 4 with a steal and a block in 23 minutes, while LeVert also played 23 minutes. Both of those guys had foul trouble. I don't think it changes much in terms of their value as they move forward. I think LeVert has the more well-rounded fantasy game. In fact, he had 5 steals in this one. But his shot is just nowhere near going in. He cannot hit anything, whereas Crabb is more of a 3-point point specialist. I would have LeVert marginally ahead of Crabb, but you could make the argument either way. The blue swimmer, that's not Damari Carroll's nickname. He's the Junkyard Dog. He had 14 and 11. Not much else there for Damari as he started another game, 33 minutes. He should be owned. While Tyler Zeller looked pretty good in his playing time, 17 minutes, 12 points, 3 rebounds, and outplayed Tim Mozgov, and Quincy Acey played 21 minutes given the lack of big men. If both Allen and Booker come back in the next game, then some of those players are going to have to miss out, but we could have a situation where there's no Jared Allen, no Trevor Booker, no Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in the Nets next game against the Nuggets, and that's going to allow Nikola Jokic to go bananas. But it's going to push minutes for these wing guys. Carroll plays exclusively at the 4. More LeVert, more Crabb, more Dinwiddie, more Mozgov, more Acey in that sort of a situation as well. Spencer Dinwiddie couldn't hit any shots, but did have 7 assists in his 27 minutes. I don't think he is a must-own guy in 12-team leagues, but he can be used. For the Suns, TJ Warren, great again. 20-9, 2 steals and 3 blocks, 36 minutes, while Joshie Jackson played only 13. This is what should happen because TJ Warren is a significantly better player than Josh Jackson. I'm a big TJ Warren fan, as you're well aware. Hopefully he can sustain these minutes. It feels like he's going to play 30-plus for the majority of this season, and he clearly needs to be owned. Devin Booker fouled out, only 18 points with 2 steals for Book, while Mike James, he got hot in this one. 16 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, while Tyler Ulis had 11-1-3 in 25 minutes. The roller coaster in terms of the minutes of these point guards continues, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to stop. One thing that is stopping is minutes for Marquise Chris. He started, he played 15 minutes and had 4, 4, and 2. Dragan Bender played 10 minutes and had 0 and 4 because it was really important that Jared Dudley get in there and play his 21 minutes. Now, I like Jared Dudley. I think he's a great bloke, ripping bloke, fantastic career. Really, really like him. But there's no real need for him to be playing crunch time minutes. There's no need for him to be playing minutes over both Chris and Bender. Now, Chris is terrible. He is not a good basketball player. He is young. He has limited experience, but he is shitful. He is absolutely dreadful. He's not quite in the shit bloke rankings, but I reckon he could be in there. I'll need to do a little bit more digging. I reckon he could definitely get himself into those shit bloke rankings. Josh Jackson's a real candidate for that as well, just saying. But I reckon with Chris, I reckon you can piss him off. 10-team leagues, done. 12-team leagues, this is the thing. We talk about these guys, and I'll constantly refer to Tony Roten. But Tony Roten, when he played 30 minutes, the fantasy numbers came. There was never denying that. But he was a horrendous player on the court. And you saw at some point, he's just not going to be able to get these minutes to put up the numbers. And that's exactly the way I feel about Chris. Give him 30 minutes a night and it's a triple 1.5. But with a new coach in town, with Jay Triano there instead of Earl Watson, who really loved Chris, and we saw Triano go to Bender over him. Now we're seeing him go to Dudley over him. My hopes for Chris are really, really limited. Alex Len looked great. 7-14, a steal and 2 blocks. Couldn't hit any shots, 1 of 6. But aggressive, and he should be playing 30 or not. Don't understand the fascination with Tyson Chandler, but Len is a guy that I would own over Chris, and I would have him in 12-team leagues. The last game of the night, the Miami Heat and the Golden State Warriors. Joshy Richardson, only 6 points, but did add 3 steals and 2 blocks, and that is part of the reason why you owned him. You want him to be a little bit more involved offensively, hit a few more shots, at least have 1 rebound and 1 assist. Weird to have zeros in both those columns, but the defensive numbers make him a guy that I still do want to own. Justice Winslow, 6 points, 7 rebounds and 5 assists with Deion Waiters out. And the one thing you want to take from Winslow's game, he still can't hit shots, but his passing is unbelievable. I don't know where he's got this passing ability from. I don't know what this means for him moving forward, but he's clearly developed that skill over the past 2 seasons, and he's a really good passer now. So that is something that is an interesting stream target for assists. Winslow could be that guy. Kelly Olynyk had 10 and 5 in 18 minutes, and these minutes, I reckon they're going to be kept pretty low now while Akaro White continues to start. Tyler Johnson, he was shithouse, 3 and 4 in 29 minutes, not worth a 12-team league look. While the Duke Wayne Ellington had 9 points in 28 minutes, all of those coming from 3. But when Deion's back, we're talking about 10 minutes or so for the Duke. Goran Dragic, worse than Derrick Rose, he had 19, 3 and 4 in 31 minutes. On to the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant, 21, 8 and 6, a steal, 3 blocks. Him and Steph Curry couldn't hit any shots, but this is how good Durant is. He was 39% from the field and still put up 21, 8 and 6 with a steal and 3 blocks to be the second best player on the night. It's crazy. Draymond Green hit his. He hit 4 triples, had 18, 9 and 2 with a block, while Steph, 16, 5 and 4, 2 steals and 2 triples, and he went a brutal 26% from the field and 22% from 3. Him and KD won't have that sort of a game all that often. Steve Kerr's use of centers remains maddening. Jordan Bell is better than JaVale McGee. Jordan Bell is better than Zaza Pachulia. Jordan Bell is probably better than David West, who was out in this one. But we had 4 centers play in the first quarter, including 17 Kevon Looney minutes. Now, Looney did have 3 blocks, but I just won't understand. I won't understand the mentality of playing all these centers all the time. At some point in the next 3 years, Bell is going to be a 28, 30-minute a night center. It's just not going to happen this year, even though I do believe that at some point he will become the starter. Probably after Christmas would be my guess, but I think that he will supplant Pachulia, but then just play 15 minutes a night anyway. The frustration continues with the way that Kerr does use that center rotation for his team. That is it. There wasn't that many games on, as I mentioned already. Only 3 games. I'm going to transition ourselves now into DFS as we look ahead to Tuesday's games, because there are 10 of them, and another new band to debut in terms of transition music. This one is Jake McKelvey and the Countertops, and the song is called Mini Monster. Sorry about that. Jake McKelvey and the Countertops. Mini Monster. I'll play that for you now. Then I'll be back to talk some DFS for Tuesday.
With a high speed slide projector, if I take my arms together, I will have twice the power, so they say. And if I start recycling every Thursday morning there will still be bottles on the roadside anyway. Just not clean enough to drink from or appear as though they've never been used. I'm like a penny in the pocket of a rich man, and you're the rich man's point of view.
Guys, we are back. Thank you again to Jake McKelvey and the Countertops for that song, Mini Monster. And thank you to everyone who has sent in music for the podcast. I've got so many songs. It's fantastic. Happy to take submissions for other people as well. But really great stuff to see so many listeners to this podcast who are in bands and want to have their music, put out there to other people. And hopefully, and I've had many people, oh, who was that song? Who was that song? How did we find it? So it is a good way to get some people to go and listen to your music. Let's talk about the perfect DFS lineup of the night from Monday. On FanDuel, Malcolm Delaney 23.3 and Kyrie had 47.1. Marco Bellinelli had 32.5, or D'Angelo Russell 47.7. TJ Warren, or as Matt Smith wants me to call him, the Rim Reaper. I'm not sure I'm ready for that one, Matt, but I'll run with it for you. 47.8. Kevin Durant 49.4. Jason Tatum 41.1. Jim Johnson had 50.8 and The Undertaker had 40.4. That totaled 380.1, a low total, which is pretty common on a three-game slate, for a total of $58,500. So $1,500 worth of savings there, which, again, that's a common thing on a small slate as well. On DraftKings, Kyrie had 50.25, Marco Bellinelli 30.5, Tatum 40, Horford 44.5, The Undertaker 42, D'Angelo Russell 47.5, TJ Warren, the Rim Reaper 43.75, and Jim Johnson 49.75, for a total of 348.25. That cost you $49,700 dues. There are 10 games on Tuesday. We'll get to the first of those now, and it's the Dallas Mavericks heading to the Washington Wizards. There is no spread for this one because we don't know the status of Johnny Wall. We've got Dorian Finney-Smith as probable. He's probably not going to play regardless. I wouldn't care too much there. The one we care about is obviously in Washington with Johnny Wall questionable. And weirdly enough, his backup, Timmy Frazier, questionable with a wrist as well. If both of those guys go out, then shit, it's going to be really weird because Tomas Satoransky is going to have to play a lot of minutes. I think Kelly Oubre will play more minutes in that situation. And I think Jody Meeks will be the backup point guard, or it'll be Brattle's Beal. And you'd be really locking in Beal for a monster, monster night if both Wall and Frazier are out. In fact, if Wall is out, Beal is someone you really look at there anyway. And Satoransky, despite his struggles in the last game, I still do believe in him, and he would be an interesting low salary type of player. Now, if Wall is out, Timmy Frazier does get some value here, and he can be looked at against this Mavericks team. Let's look at the point guards. Wall is at 9,700. If he happens to play, I think it's a good opportunity for him to play. I reckon he might sit this one and be back for the next game. That's just a gut feel at this point. JJ Barea at 4,000, not really seeing any love there. Well, Dennis Smith at 5,100. I actually like Smith here, especially if Wall is out. He's been playing a little bit better, averaging 22 over his last three. So I can see a 25 or 26 pointer here from Dennis Smith coming up. As for Timmy Frazier at 4,000, if Wall is out, that's fine. At shooting guard, Wes Matthews has been a stinker. He's at 4,400. It's a decent matchup for him. I'd be all right in looking at him in a tournament, but he's just too inconsistent. While Jody Meeks at 3,000. If we have both Wall and Frazier out, I think that's a brilliant play for tournaments. And if only one of those is out, I'd still look at him as a tournament guy because he can get hot, he can hit some threes, and if he's got the ability to play some point and maybe get you three or four assists, that could really help there. Devin Harrison, not really too interested, although he's been pretty solid recently. While Bradley Beal at 8,500, this guy's averaging 48 points over his last three, and he's got a real opportunity to drop a 50 or even a 55 here on Dallas. I reckon Yogi Ferrell, the minutes have been well down, and he is averaging just 15 points across his last three. The salary's well down as well, so you could consider him a tournament guy, but I wouldn't be getting too excited. At small forward, the pencil, Harrison Barnes at 6,200. I feel pretty confident of getting 30 out of Harrison, so in cash, that's not bad. While Kelly Oubre at 4,300, I'd lean more GPP unless we have Wall out and Frazier out, and then I'd look at him as a little bit more of a safer cash type of a play. At power forward, Otto Porter at 6,700. That's a pretty decent price for Porter. He's been putting up strong numbers, and with Wall out, or if Wall is out, that would be a good option. Markeith at 4,400. I'm just not certain of the minutes enough to go there. Well, Dirk at 4,800. Sorry, Dirk, I can't get behind using you either. At center, Marcin Gortat, 5,600. I think that's really strong for cash. I'm not sure he's got much upside, but 25 or 26 points does not feel like a stretch for Gortat in this one. Or Nerlens Noel, 3,700. I'm getting questions about people from people in seasonal leagues. Oh, don't you think that when the Mavericks will start cutting down Dirk's minutes and they'll start unleashing Noel? No, there is a real issue here with this team and Noel, and they'll unleash Salah Mejri, they'll unleash John Motley, Jeff Withy, they'll unleash Dwight Powell. They won't do it to Noel. I can almost 100% guarantee you that you will not be getting a 30-minute Nerlens Noel type stretch for the last 2 months of the season. I could be wrong, but I just do not see it happening. So everyone who's expecting that to happen, I just don't see it. It could happen, but that shouldn't be your expectation, in my opinion. So yeah, he's not looking like a really strong play here, despite his salary being at $3,700. If we flip this over, have a look over on DraftKings at how this game plays out. Not too much to really love here. Johnny Wall at 95 is okay. Gortat, I think, is decently strong also. The pencil, Otto Porter, Dennis Smith, and Bradley Beal having some value. Guys like Devin Harris might want to look at it in a tournament. That's probably about it, though, if we flip that to DraftKings. Let's have a look now at the next game. We're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, and they're taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Shout out to LeBron for his Arthur's Fist post today with just the caption under it, mood. So, of course, NBA social media went wild. And then all NBA players, you know, chiming in. Isaiah Thomas, Damian Lillard, Dwayne Wade, all with their... Isaiah Thomas was pretty hilarious. He's like, do you want me to handle... I wish I had the words in my head. Do you want me to handle something for you? Because LeBron can just say... He literally says one word, and people go crazy. Interesting to see if we have any idea what this means at all. Maybe LeBron's pissed that that Derrick Rose was labeled as a top 15 point guard by some on the internet. Maybe he's not impressed by that. Who knows? But that was LeBron's post there. So we'll see what happens as he goes on up against Gianni Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Kevin Love, he's likely to play. He did have that illness that sent him to the hospital the other day, but he's right. And Iman Shumpert is likely to return after missing a few games with a knee problem. The Cavs are favored by 4. The total is 220 here. As for Derrick Rose, for as much shit as I poured on him and his, what's the right word, nuthuggers, maybe, yesterday, I think at 4,500, he's a decently solid play here. He's going to play his 30-ish minutes, and he's going to have an opportunity to get 25 points. So I think that Derrick Rose for tournaments is worth a look. Matt Dellavedova isn't, pretty clear. Well, Malcolm Brogdon, Brogo, 6,100. I feel like you're just going to get 30 out of Brogo almost every night. I think he's a really strong cash play in this one. At shooting guard, Tone Snell's at 4,000. One of the best GPP type options and one of the worst cash plays in my opinion. Well, J.R. Smith, he's not even giving you enough to be a GPP type of guy at this point. Chrissy Middleton, 7,500. Just don't like the matchup with him against the Cavs. He has struggled in the past. The price is probably a little bit too high. Well, Dwayne Wade had a monster in the last one. 49 points he dropped. I wouldn't be relying upon him or Kyle Korver, for that matter, who was also big in that last game, in anything apart from GPPs, and I don't think they're all that strong in that situation either. DeAndre Liggins' revenge game? Probably not. At small forward, Yanni is 11,700. I really like that. I think a 50 or a 55 for cash is right in play there, as is LeBron at 11,300. You could easily stack a GPP with both of those guys and try and get some cheaper options in other spots with guys like Johnny Henson, who's a little bit cheaper, Timmy Frazier, or Tomas Satoransky, depending on what happens in Washington. But a Giannis-LeBron stack, if they go head-to-head, the game's close, I think you might see some big numbers there, and hopefully enough to pay off that sort of price, assuming you can get enough cheaper guys in around them. Mirza Teletovic is also one of those cheaper punt-type options as a small forward, while Jeffy Green. Oh, I don't have the drop in front of me. Oh, there it is.
My name is Jeff.
Fantastic. He's been putting up odd numbers. And by odd, I mean, hey, what, Jeff Green? 21 points per game in his last three, $4,000, outplaying Jay Crowder. So maybe there's a little bit of value in Green, but I just feel like the consistency, the floor is just not high enough. Speaking of Crowder, he's at 4,400, only for tournaments for him. He is really struggling, averaging 17 over the last five, which is not enough for that value. The Muppet John Henson is at $5,000. He had 27 in the last game. I think it's a pretty strong play to get Henson into your lineup. And at center, you've got Kevin Love at 7,000. I'd look at him as a GPP type of a guy, not feeling him with the way they're distributing the shots in Cleveland, not feeling that for cash. Thon McCur, not really seeing that either. Let's have a look at how this game now looks over on DraftKings tournaments, guys. We've got Tone Snell, Teletovic, Rose, Chrissy Middleton, Kevin Love, and Jay Crowder. For cash games, Brogo, Yanni, the Muppet John Henson, and LeBron are all pretty solid options over on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game now. We're going to look at the New Orleans Pelicans and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 1, and the total is 218 points here. The big question in terms of availability is going to be Domantas Sabonis, who's got a right calf contusion. If he doesn't play, you're going to see more Al Jefferson. TJ Leaf has already been ruled out. You'll see more Al Jefferson. You'll see big minutes from Thad Young, and you'll see some minutes from Alex Poitras. But Jefferson and Poitras aren't really going to be interesting, but it should allow Miles Turner to play more, and Thad Young becomes a really, really strong option in this case. The problem being, though, the big men have to go up against Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, and that can be a real concern. At point guard, Corey Joseph is at 3,700. I don't really think his upside's high. I don't think his floor's that high. Jameer Nelson at 4,300 had a big one in the last game, and he's got some ability to drop a 30, which is great at that sort of a price, while Drew Holiday at $7,000 hasn't quite been at that level. This is a really good matchup for Drew, so I'd lean towards using him as a tournament type of guy. Daz Collison, he's at $6,000. Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think there's a huge amount of upside. I think he can be used in cash, though. Shooting guards, Etwan Moore, 4,200, just nothing of excitement there whatsoever. Well, Vic Oladipo, 7,300. I'm in on Vic. Yeah, 40 point upside, good for tournaments. At least a 35 point floor, I would guess. So I think he's pretty strong in this one. At small forward, Bojan Bogdanovic, 4,700, had some strong games and then turded it in the last one. Just the 12 points there. So he is always a GPP guy in my mind. Well, Dante Cunningham's a nothing guy. Same as Tone Allen, Lance Stephenson, or Darius Miller. Now, Thaddeus Young, 6,100. He gets a real, real bump if Sabonis is out. I think at 6,100, he's decently strong anyway, despite going up against Anthony Davis, but he's got an opportunity to really break through that value, and I do like Thad quite a bit here. As for Sabonis at 5,700, I'd probably fade him with the injury, with the Cousins concern also. And then you've got Davis at 11,700, another one of those $11,000 players, along with Boogie and LeBron and Yanni, who you can consider in both cash and tournaments. We'll talk Cousins now. He's at 11,800. Yeah, that's fine. You're going to get 50 out of Cousins pretty much every night. The upside mightn't be that high, but he is still a strong cash and a tournament option. While Miles Turner at 7,000, the minutes have been a bit down for Miles. The concern of playing Cousins is real here. I would look at him as a tournament guy only, just because that price is really low at $7,000. It's a $1,400 drop from the last game, so that gives him some appeal, but that matchup is a real shitful one going up against Boog. Other teams do... We saw what happened to Karl Anthony Towns. I'll leave it at that, and that can happen to anyone. So Miles Turner is into that sort of consideration there. Over on DraftKings tournament, guys, Bojan and Corey Joseph are in play. Miles Turner is much more expensive over on DraftKings, so you can still use him, but I'd probably lean towards a fade there. Same with Daz Collison and Vic Oladipo. Their prices are significantly higher on DraftKings. For cash plays, I like Young. He's at 5,700. That's a really good price. Drew Holiday's at 67. Boogie and Anthony Davis are both at reasonable prices over on DraftKings as well. Let's go through this next one now, which is the Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are favored by 11. The total is 205 points. And of course, this is going to be the season debut of Bobby Portis.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Yes, while Nikola Mirotic remains unable to practice, Bobby Portis is going to return to the court here in this one and be the backup power forward. That's not going to have too much of an impact on Lauri Markkanen, although Fred Hoiberg is one of the worst coaches in the NBA, so maybe he does allow it to have an impact on Lowry. I'm not too concerned about it here. I reckon this game is going to have a lot of fantasy value, despite it being a 200 total and an 11-point spread, just because the prices look really appealing. And that's sometimes we can get caught up in spreads and totals and all that sort of stuff, but sometimes if the prices are really good, there can be value here. At point guard, Kyle Lowry is at 7,500. He could really eviscerate the Bulls here and drop a 40 on them. I really like using Lowry here at that price. Well, D'Lon Wright at 4,000. If it gets out of hand, Yeah, 23-24 pointer from DeLon is definitely something that's on the cards. More a GPP guy. As for the Bulls point guards, we've got Jaren Grant at 4,900. He just dropped a casual 42 in the last one, but there is zero chance of me wanting to rely upon that with the Kyle Lowry matchup, and then Lowry goes out and DeLon comes in. I don't think Grant's really that talented, but he's a tournament option, especially if Hoiberg refuses to go back to Dunn. Freddie Van Vliet was good in the last one at 3,300. Maybe if you think it is a blowout and Van Vliet gets his 20 minutes, he could get 25 or 26 points. So not someone to completely discount. Justin Holiday is just shooting the shit out of it. And by shooting the shit out of it, I don't mean he's doing it in a good way. He's just shooting way too many times. But at 5,700, I'm all about using Justin Holiday here. DeMar DeRozan at 8,100, I think he's fairly strong for cash. Well, Normie Powell at 4,200. Really big games from Norm recently. But both of those two big games, there's been a reason. The first one was CJ Miles was out. And the second one, Kyle Lowry was ejected. So let's see how he goes with Dwayne Casey using a 12-man rotation if he can still get those 29 minutes. So I'd leave him as a tournament guy. I would not want to rely upon him for cash. Well, Chrissy Dunn at 5,100, that's just too high for me. At small forward, we know David Nwaba's out for 2 to 4 weeks. So Paul Zipser is going to start again. Why wouldn't you start Denzel Valentine? Who knows? Yeah, Zipser, who you'd move to a 17-minute role, he's going to come back in now and play 30 minutes. Just give Valentine 31 minutes and see what he can do. But no, that's not Hoiberg's style. We'll talk Denzel here. He's at 4,200. I'm in on that. I think that's real value. I think he can be a cash guy as well, and some significant tournament upside. As for Zipser, no thanks. I'm all right. CJ Miles at 3,000. That is rock bottom minimum salary for a guy that can light up for 7 triples. You got to have it in your GPP pool just in case. You're always going for ceiling in GPPs, not floor. And his floor is shithouse. He's averaging 7 points in his last 3 games. But he could easily have 7 points in a minute of play by knocking down a couple of triples. So you do need to have a look at Miles as a minimum salary player. OG Anunoby at 3,300, just not doing anything enough for me. At power forward, Lowry Markkanen is at 6,200. It's Lowry versus Lowry in this one. This is the Markkanen version, 6,200. Yep, fine with that. 30 points should be pretty locked in for him. While Serge Ibaka, I think Serge is playing terribly, but at $5,000, it's really hard to go past Serge. I think that him getting 25 shouldn't be considered too much of a stretch. Pascal Siakam at 3,800. Well, Siakam's getting his minutes, and he's taking his shots, and he's looking pretty decent. I think that Siakam, if you're looking for that cheap guy to go with your Boog and your Davis or your Yanni and your LeBron, then Siakam at 3,800, get your 16, 17 points. That's not a bad amount. As for Bob Portis, on my moral grounds, I won't use him. But even so, he's shit anyway, so I won't be using him regardless. And I was joking about moral grounds. At center, Robin Lopez, 5,700. I think that Lopez is almost a lock to get that value, so I like him there. While Jonas Valanciunas at 4,700, well, he can go off, we know that. But what's Casey going to do? Play him 20 minutes or play him 27 minutes? If he plays him 27 minutes against the Bulls, it's over. He's smashed that value, and that's why he should be in your GPP pool. Bebe is at 3,600. Also really interested in him in a tournament. He racks up stats at a high rate. He had 16 points in 14 minutes in the last one. He's averaging over a point per minute in his last 5 games. At 3,600, if he gets 17 minutes, then the value is going to be there. And he is currently playing over Jakob Poeltl. So I would definitely have Bebe ahead of Jakob. Let's look at how this one plays out over on DraftKings. GPP options, I think Serge is more of a GPP guy in DraftKings, Ibaka that is, Denzel Valentine, Norm Powell, and Jonas Valanciunas. Well, I think there's some strong cash players also. DeRozan, Holiday, DeLon, Robin Lopez, Lowry Markkanen, and Kyle Lowry. All some decent cash plays over on DraftKings. Let's move on to the next game now. It is the Charlotte Hornets taking on the New York Knicks. The spread is even at the moment. The total is 209.5 points. Dwight Howard is probable with a right foot sprain. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out with his personal issues. Again, you're really not coping, I guess, with the loss of his grandmother, so that's is keeping him out of action. Howard, he'll be right to go. Let's talk about the point guards. In this matchup, we'll go, of course, to Kemba Walker first, 7,400 for Kemba. Numbers have been a little bit down, 27-point average over the last three, but you're playing the Knicks. It is an opportunity to get those up. But Frank Ntilikina, maybe he puts the brakes on. So that is something to watch, but I think Kemba's pretty solid at 7,400. As for Frank, 4,700. Someone suggested I should call him the French Prince. it's not rolling off my tongue. I'm not quite feeling it yet. It's in consideration. I think he does deserve a nickname, but at the moment, Frankie Ntilikina at 4,300 is definitely worth a look. Dropped 30 in the last game. He's more of a tournament guy than a cash play. Well, Jarrett Jack at 4,400. Tournaments only, but I don't feel great about using him. At shooting guard, Courtney Lee's at 46. There's nothing enticing about that. Well, Timmy Hardaway at 6,000 has been killing it. His lowest score in his last five games has been 29 points. So he's probably due to shit the bed at some point, but I do feel pretty good about him in cash. Well, Jezza Lamb at 5,900. I would take Hardaway over Lamb every day of the week with that extra $100. The Baconator, Dwayne Bacon, 3,800. With Kid Gilchrist out, he's going to get his minutes, and I think he can get 20. He's averaging 23 over the last three, so I think in cash, again, you're looking for a cheap guy to fit those other big names in. The Baconator might be okay there. Malik Monk had 21 points in the last game, which included 8 assists. He's also at 3,800. I'd lean more towards him in a tournament for the ability for him to go off and start hitting some threes, not really feeling like relying upon him in cash yet. At small forward, it is just a real cornucopia of shithouseness here. Doug McDirt and Lance Thomas, both minimum salary guys, for a reason. You can leave them alone. At power forward, Frank the Tank Kaminsky, 4,100. As a tournament guy, sure. As a cash guy, not a chance. While Marvin Williams is at $4,000 as well. And I just don't really see the upside in Marv. The guy we want to talk about, of course.
Percentages.
Yeah, he's at 9,800, Kristaps. He had 68 in the last one. Will Dwight Howard be an issue? Will Marvin Williams be an issue? Probably not for Marv. Dwight, perhaps. But I think at 9,800, Porzingis makes a really nice alternative to LeBron or to Davis or to Cousins. He's crushing it. He's averaging 52 over the last five games, which is absolutely what you need at 9,800. And there was a real turd stuck in there as well, where he had a 30-point outing. At center, Enes Kanter, 6,200. This one could go awry for Kanter. He's played over 30 in the past two games, but a Dwight Howard pick-and-roll situation with Kemba could be a real concern there. So I would put Cock on your radar and look at Kylo Quinn at 3,900 as a tournament guy. And I'd probably, in normal cases, I'd look, Kanter at 6,200. I feel good about him getting 30. But the risk element in him playing Dwight makes me go, maybe in a tournament. But he could come out there and he could out-wrestle Dwight for rebounds and come down with a 16 and 14 sort of game. And that's obviously really valuable. As for Dwight at 7,300, I'm in on using Dwight. I think a 40-point game could really be in the offing for him. I wouldn't be getting too excited about Cody Zeller despite his big performance in their last outing. Over on DraftKings, tournament guys, I think Enes Kanter and Marv Williams there. While cash plays, Porzingis, Hardaway, Ntilikina is more of a cash option on DraftKings, I think, Kemba and Dwight Howard. Let's take a look at this next game. It is the Los Angeles Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 3.5 and the total is 201. The Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, he is doubtful with a left hip contusion. There is zero chance that he plays, while Manu should be back after resting in the last game for the Spurs. Let's talk point guards. Pat Bev is at 5,800. He's been consistently getting that sort of value, so I feel pretty strongly about him despite the somewhat negative matchup against the Spurs. Pat Mills at 4,700, more of a tournament guy. Looks like he's got that starting point guard job locked down over DeJounte Murray at this point. As for Murray at 4,100, I just don't really see it. I like Lou Williams at $5,000, especially with the Rooster likely out. He's going to get more opportunities. So I like Lou here at $5,000 and Austin Rivers at $4,700. Maybe in a tournament, but I don't feel strongly about Rivers as a cash game option. Manu at $4,100, probably not. Bryn Forbes had some interesting numbers recently. $3,400 for Bryn. He put up averaging 19 over the last three. But with Manu back, I would maybe look at him as a tournament, but I don't even really see him as a high upside sort of play. I love Wes Johnson here. If the Rooster is out, which we assume, 4,400 for Wes. He can get the steals. He can get the blocks. If he gets two of each of those, he's almost made that value straight away. So at 4,400, I'm in on Wes. I wouldn't be expecting massive returns, but I think getting 20 out of him is a realistic expectation, given he should play 30 minutes, while Kyle Anderson at 4,800, a similar player to Wes in a way, but you pay $400 more for Kyle, so I'll look at Wes as an option over Anderson. Rudy Gay at 5,200, just not getting enough minutes to really justify that price tag. At power forward, Blakey Griffin, 8,400, no Rooster, so some more shot attempts should go to Blake. I think that's pretty strong at 8,400, while And LaMarcus Aldridge at 7,900. I think he's also a pretty strong cash play with some tournament upside there. At center, DeAndre's at 7,600. I think that's really good for cash. Not really too worried about Powell being able to limit him. While Powell at 5,700, I'd look at him as a tournament guy. Powell, he's done pretty well against the Clippers in the past. In fact, the last three games against them, he's averaged 34 points. So I think he is a tournament type of a player here, Pau Gasol. Let's flip this to DraftKings. How does the value shake out here? I think Blake, Wes Johnson, Lou Williams, and DeAndre Jordan are all cash plays and tournament plays, while Pat Mills at 3,900 is a pretty strong cash play. Also, Pat Bev's at 58, which is probably a little bit too high on DraftKings, and Powell at 57 also isn't super sexy. All right, next game up on the slate, we're going to talk about the Brooklyn Nets and the Denver Nuggets. The Nets, the only team on a back-to-back on Tuesday. There is no spread currently out for this one. The Nets have got a stack of injuries. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Trevor Booker, and Jarrett Allen are all questionable. And these are all players that play the 4 and the 5. So that front court, there's going to be some real issues if 2 or even 3 of those guys happen to sit. At point guard, the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, 5,400. I want nothing to do with that unless it's in a tournament, and then I am interested, but no cash reliability there. While Manny Moutier, his backup, is $600 cheaper, and he's been putting up pretty big numbers, averaging 26 over the last 5 in just 25 minutes. I think he's worth a look for a tournament. Can get 30 points, and that's not too bad. Spencer Dinwiddie at 48, probably a little bit too highly priced for me. At shooting guard, Caris LeVert at 4,900. Yes, he moved to the bench, but I'm still okay in a tournament for him. Not for cash. While Gaz Harris, he's at 5,700, a real opportunity here for him to drop a 30 against this Nets team who could struggle to guard him. D'Angelo Russell still listed as a shooting guard, 7,300 for D'Angelo, averaging 44 over the last 3. The back-to-back worries you a little bit, but I'm still pretty good on D'Angelo at 7,300 here, while Fart and Will Barton at 5,700, way too high for me to consider in cash, but definitely got some tournament upside. At small forward, you got Baby Neck Wilson Chandler, 4,300 for Wilson. Probably not happening there. While the Blue Swimmer at 4,300, I'm in on Allen Crabbe at that sort of a price, especially if Rondae happens to be out. Damari Carroll at 6,000, I think, is also a pretty strong cash play, especially if Rondae is out. Jumpin' Joe Harris at 3,200, I'm all about that. I think there's upside. I think there's value there, even if all these guys play. But if Rondae's out, you smash the shit out of Joe Harris at 3,200. Really, really valuable. At power forward, Trevor Booker at 4,000. Well, depending on how things shake out, he could be a really valuable play as well. If Rondae's out, you might see some extra minutes from Book. So keep an eye on him. While Rondae at 6,700, probably just a little bit too high with the doubt surrounding him. Paulie Millsap, 7,400. I have no interest in that for Millsap at all. At center, Mason Plumlee, 3,800. Revenge game? Don't give a shit about that. But Mason Plumlee at 3,800 against a team who's could potentially have no big men in the lineup at all. I think that there's value there for him to get 20 points. While Nikola Jokic at 9,500, we're talking, I think we've got 60 point upside talking here for Jokic. Really, really interested in seeing what he can do against this team with no big men whatsoever. Jarrett Allen, Tim Mozgov, I wouldn't be really interested in either of those guys. On DraftKings, want to look at tournament guys, the Blue Arrow, Caris LeVert, the Blue Swimmer, Allen Crabbe, and Mason Plumlee. While for cash games, D'Angelo, Manny Moutier, Damari, Gaz Harris, Paulie Millsap, a much better option over on DraftKings, and Nikola Jokic at 8,500 is really, really strong. Love that on DraftKings for Jokic. I'd probably be one of the first blokes that I'd look to slip into a lineup at on DraftKings, given that price. Let's look at the next one, Philadelphia and Utah. Joel Embiid is out for load management. Traveling to the high altitude, he's not fully in shape. They're going to rest him in this one. So that's going to open up opportunities for Amir Johnson, but more importantly, Rashawn Holmes, which we'll talk about in a sec. Other injuries to note, we know Joe Johnson's out for Utah, and that's probably about it. At shooting guard, Jared Bayless. So there's an opening here, and that means at point guard, TJ McConnell at 5,500. I feel like just locking that in. There's going to be big minutes for TJ, 30-point feels pretty comfortable. I think he's an absolute lock. While ravishing Rick Rubio at 7,100 has been a little bit down recently, I think this is a good opportunity for Rubio to get back to 35 points, but I would absolutely take McConnell over Rubio in most situations. At shooting guard, Rocket Rodney Hood, 4,300, only for tournaments for Rocket, really struggling, and Don Mitchell is taking a lot of his minutes. Mitchell, also a GPP guy, he's at 5,200, averaging 35 over the last three. I'd feel much stronger about using Mitchell than I would about Rocket, while JJ Redick at 5,000. Coming off a 43-pointer, I would look to him. He's always just a tournament type of player. Bob Cove at 6,300, I'm in on that. Joe Ingles at 5,200, probably a little bit high for Jinglin. While Tarbo looked good in that one game when Joe Johnson was out, then his minutes have dropped, so I'll probably fade him. At power forward, Šarić, 3,800, could get some extra minutes at center. I like him at 3,800. It's a really good price, and there is some upside for Dario there also. While Benny Simmons at 9,300, it feels really lockish to use Simmons there. Get your 45 with Embiid out, probably get your 50, to be honest. Amir Johnson at 3,600. If he gets the start, I'm fine with that. He can easily get 20 points. So I think Amir is someone that is worth paying attention to. At center, Rudy Gobert. That's him. 8,100. No Joel Embiid. I'm in on Gobert. A really good matchup for him. While Rashawn Holmes, they've bumped the salary up $1,600 on FanDuel. He's at 4,900. He does have the Gobert factor to deal with, and that is important to pay attention to, given that price rise. Also, I think Holmes is strong. He wouldn't be the guy that I would absolutely lock in at that $5,000 price point, though. Let's take a look at DraftKings and how it shakes out for this game over there. Tournament-wise, Don Mitchell, Rocket Rodney Hood, Šarić, and JJ Redick. Well, for cash, we've got Gobert, we've got TJ McConnell, which is an absolute lock to me. Rubio and Simmons, I think, both have really good cash value. And then you've got Rashawn Holmes, who's at 4,300, a more reasonable price on DraftKings, but still not without an element of risk because of Gobert. Let's take a look at the next game, the second last game of the night, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings. The Thunder are favored by 10 and the total is 206. We want to just briefly check in to see that Carmelo Anthony's not suspended. There's zero chance that he will be suspended, so no need to worry there. At point guard, Russ is at 10,200. Hasn't really been getting to that level. Now, this could be a real blowout, or he could just put up massive numbers against a horrendous team. So I look at him as more of a tournament guy than a cash play, but that's probably the cheapest you've seen Russell Westbrook in quite a while. De'Aaron Fox at 5,500 is too expensive, and George Hill is back after his personal issue. He's at $4,000. I think there's a GPP option there for Hill. He could have a big game at some point, and a 30-pointer at 4,000 would be valuable. Fatface Ray Felton's at 3,300. Well, he's pretty much getting 17 a night at this point, and I don't hate that to fit some of these other high-priced guys in. That could actually work in a cash game scenario. Andre Robertson's at 3,300. No thanks for me. Garrett Temple at 36. Tournament upside there with him. Who knows what Jaeger's going to do? And same with Bogdan Bogdanovic at 3,900. He can have that in a quarter value there, but then Jaeger probably won't play him after that. So there's always concern with all these Kings guys. Bud Heald at 41, maybe, but probably not. Paulie George at 78. Feel strongly about that. I'm happy with him in cash there. Vince Carter, Justin Jackson, not so much. At power forward, Jeremy Grant at 4,100. He's getting 20 minutes a night plus. He's getting 20 plus points a night. That's fine. That's all you need at that price. And again, get you some of these other big names in. Mello at 6,900.
Giggity.
I'm good with Mello there. Get your 35s. I'm pretty okay with using Mello. Scalabissiere, I am far from okay. In a tournament, sure, but how's he going to be able to guard these threes that are playing at the four, Dave Jaeger? We've got to throw Zach Randolph out there. That's clearly our only solution to guard these quick, fleet foot threes that are playing at the four. At center, Willie Cauley-Stein, 4,700. I can't trust any of these Kings guys. Steve Adams, 6,200 is a little bit expensive, but this is a brilliant, brilliant matchup for Steve. So if you're going to use him at all, this is the time to get Steve in there with his big sexy mustache. Over on DraftKings, GPPs, Westbrook and Garrett Temple, whereas cash, I like Jeremy Grant. I like Adams a lot as well on DraftKings, Paulie George and Carmelo Anthony in the fray there. The last game of this 10-game slate is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers. We know that Wayne Seldon is out. Chandler Parsons should be back. And then you've got Marc Gasol and Mario Chalmers both listed as probable for the Grizzlies. The Blazers are favored by 3.5 and the total is 204 points. Let's take a look at the point guards. Mario Chalmers at at 4,300, has been putting up some okay numbers. I'm not really feeling Chalmers here. There is something to see maybe for cash, but he's not my choice. Really like Mike Conley. 7,200. You can talk about how disappointing he's been. He dropped 38 in the last one. He's averaging 33 over his last three. That's fine at 7,200. While Dame Lillard is killing at 9,800. There's a little bit of a letdown factor here for Dame. In a slower paced team, it gets a really solid defense in Memphis. It could be a bit of a letdown for Dame. I am okay using him, though, at 9,800. At shooting guard, Tyreek's at 6,200. He's getting 30 a night. He's got a good record against Portland as well. Totally okay there. Same with CJ at 6,800, which is a really nice price. At small forward, Mo Harkless at 4,000. I just don't see it. Sorry, Mo. While Dylan Brooks at 3,700 will likely draw another start, and he has some GPP upside, as does Jim Ennis at 4,000. For the power forwards, Noah Vonleh is going to start. He's at 3,500. He can grab some rebounds, but I just don't see any real upside in using Vonleh, while Caleb Swanigan at 3,000, probably not there either. At center, you've got Brandon Wright at 32, who's averaging 24 points over the last three. If you want to go cheap at center, you could do worse than Wright, but you can also probably do better. Or Yusuf Nurkic at 8,300. Marcus Sol, just a little bit down from the Boogie Cousins, Rudy Gobert list of centers you don't want to play against, so I'll probably fade Nurkic. Despite how well he's been playing, this looks like a good fade situation. As for Gasol at 7,800, maybe just a little bit high for Markey in this one. Over on DraftKings, some tournament guys, Chalmers, Nurkic, Vonleh, and Brooks, and cash plays Lillard. Really love Lillard at 8,700 on DraftKings. Conley, Tyreek, and CJ are options over there as well. Let's take a look at any guys on Yahoo I want to take a look at for tournaments. I like Chalmers, the Blue Arrow, Kyle Anderson, Jimmy and Nelson, Rivers, Denzel, DeLon, Mason Plumlee, Boyan, J.R. Smith, Garrett Temple, Dylan Brooks, Danny Green, Pascal Siakam, Caris LeVert, Bogdanovic. And if we look at cash options, we've got Wes Johnson, the Muppet John Henson, Courtney Lee, Brogo, Jeremy Grant, Manny Moutier, the Blue Swimmer, Lou Williams, Frank Ntilikina, TJ McConnell, Don Mitchell, Justin Holiday, Tyreek Evans, Kyle Lowry, Rudy Gobert, DeAndre Jordan, Nikola Jokic. All some pretty good cash options on Yahoo. On Moneyball, if you look at GPP guys, Šarić, Jameer Nelson, Tone Snell, Cock, Johnny Wall, if he plays, I think is a good option. DeLon Wright, the Blue Arrow, Denzel Valentine, and Russ Westbrook. If you're looking at cash plays, we've got Rishaun Holmes at 3,300. Now, that's fine. That's beautiful at that salary. Wes Johnson is fantastic. Malcolm Brogdon, Lou Williams, Rudy Gobert, Otto Porter, Kyle Lowry, McConnell, Jeremy Grant, Justin Holiday, Thad Young, DeAndre Jordan, the Muppet John Henson, Tyreek Evans, Pat Bev, Mike Conley, Manny Moutier, the Pencil Harrison Barnes, Yanni Adetokounmpo, Benny Simmons, and Dame Lillard. Don't forget to leave a review for this podcast. If you do enjoy it, share it with your friends, share it on social media, and subscribe on either YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. I think we're done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Taurean Prince.